New senior pastor. Ben is a great man and his leadership will take you far. I'm also the author of Core 52, and I understand that you're going to be using that as a Bible reading plan going forward. I'm really glad to hear that. This book and this program is not about you getting into the Bible. It's not even about the Bible getting into you. It's about the Bible coming out of you. Where you live, work, and play in Frankfort, you're the pastors, and you are the difference makers that will make Jesus famous where you are. By understanding the core passages of the Bible, you will have the ability through the Holy Spirit to speak life and hope and truth into people around you. So I can't wait to hear about the life change in your lives, as well as in the lives of those that you touch. God bless.
Good morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're grateful that we can be here in your presence at your invitation. It's all grace. And now we pray that the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts will please you. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, I'm going to start out with a rather short sermon, which is not going to be the end of it. That's kind of cool. Then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together, and then I'm going to finish up with a bit of an infomercial, which is what this short sermon, I hope, will be setting up. That's where the rubber will actually hit the road. So, I can't see any hands, lights are in my eyes, but how many of you guys really think that being a Jesus follower is kind of easy? I don't see many hands. I hope that's the case. How many of you think that being a Jesus follower should make life easier? A little different question. There's some verses in the Bible that we say we believe, but I don't know that we really do. We've got to say we believe them because we're in church, right? But inside, we're kind of like, yeah, right. Here's a couple of those yeah, right verses. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, do life my way. Do life the way that I show you. Do life the way that I tell you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. We believe that. And you will find rest for your souls. How many of you guys feel at rest in your souls? And then he says, for my yoke, my way of doing life, is easy to bear. You buy that? And the burden I give you is light. You buy that? And inside, sometimes we're kind of like, yeah, right, because Jesus following can be hard. Or this one. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in all of its fullness. Other translations, a rich and satisfying life. Life to the fullest. And some of us are like, yeah, right, maybe someday in heaven. But right now, following Jesus kind of makes a lot of the things that we want to do kind of hard, right? Or this one, the Apostle John says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commands are not burdensome. And you're thinking, what has he read? Now hang with me for a minute. I'll show you some burdensome commands. How about this one? This is a burdensome command. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. You must forget yourself. You got to give up your way. Is that burdensome? Well, we're Americans. It's kind of un-American, right? Or Jesus said, it's kind of hard for rich people, and he meant people like us, it's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Makes you wonder whether a Jesus follower shouldn't want a lot of money. You think it'd be hard? You think it'd be burdensome to give up your quest for money? Or Jesus says, you can't be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your dad and mom, your wife and your kids, your brothers and sisters, even more than you love yourself. Not burdensome? In fact, that almost sounds abusive, immoral. Or he says this one, love your enemies, pray for, not pray about, pray for those who persecute you. Well, that's not even right, is it? And that's in the same chapter where Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, that looking at a woman lustfully is the same as committing adultery with her to God, and not to turn down someone who wants to borrow from you. Not burdensome? Really? He tells us to forgive the unforgivable, like God forgives us. And that's flat out hard. Most of the time, we don't even want to forgive, right? And I could keep the list going pretty easily. So what does Jesus mean when he says, my yoke is easy? Or that walking his path will bring us to rest for our souls? What does John mean when it says that Jesus' commands are not burdensome? That Jesus' following leads to a rich, full, satisfying life? Is that wishful thinking? We wish. I mean, here at Capital City, sometimes I use the language that following Jesus gives a lightness to life. Do you actually buy that? Most of you nod your head when I use that language, but do you feel it? But look at it this way. A lot of Jesus followers talk about the cost of discipleship. A lot of books, great books, written about the cost of discipleship. And they're going to tell you that following Jesus will cost you. It'll cost you everything, absolutely everything, if you do it right. But did you know that not following Jesus will cost you more, infinitely more? An old dead philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard put it like this. He said, it costs a man just as much or even more to go to hell than to come to heaven. You believe that? I know Jesus following can be hard, but not choosing to follow him, what kind of a life are you choosing then? A life of crushing burdens that you are going to carry alone, a life of failures that you will have that are going to haunt you, disappointments and problems that will never be resolved. Now, the bottom line is this, guys, if you're not doing life Jesus' way, how's it working out for you? Following Jesus costs us everything. Not following Jesus costs us more. And to be perfectly honest, if we're honest with ourselves, ruthlessly honest with ourselves, most of us don't actually try to follow Jesus too hard. Hard enough to get by. An old dead guy by the name of G.K. Chesterton, he put it like this. He said, Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as it has been found difficult and so left untried. In other words, when the going gets tough, we tend to quit. We quit trying to do it his way and we just opt for our way instead and hope for some grace from our God. But what if we actually tried following Jesus? Actually tried doing life with God, for God, his way, even when it's hard? What if that actually works? Bigger question is this: what does that mean? To do life with God, for God, his way. What does his way actually look like? So I'm going to change directions for a few minutes, and then I'm going to try to pull these two pieces back together again. I want to start by talking about experts. Here's the thing about experts. Experts make things that are really, really hard look really, really easy, right? That's what experts do. I played the cello for a while, quite a while. And way back when, every once in a while, I could pull some pretty nice tones out of it. But I've also watched Yo-Yo Ma, I think the greatest cellist in the world, play. I've watched him play several times. His precision is immaculate. His tone is exquisite. And he makes it look effortless. More than once, just listening to him has brought me to tears. For quite some time, I played quite a bit of golf. I loved the game, and I wasn't bad. But I also have had the chance to watch some pros play. They're at a different level, guys. They hit the ball so crisply nearly every time. Their precision, their accuracy, their power, their control is incredible to me because I've tried to do it. And they make it look effortless. I played some basketball, some football, some baseball. But then I'll watch clips of Michael Jordan or Larry Bird and what they could do with the ball so effortlessly blows my mind. I grew up idolizing Willie Mays. He is the greatest baseball player of all time, guys. Willie Mays. We used to try to imitate his basket catch, which, by the way, is not the safest way to catch a ball in the outfield. But he did it that way, so we wanted to do it that way. He could do it effortlessly. I wanted to steal bases like he could. The difference was he was fast and I'm slow. I wanted to hit the ball like he could. He could hit home runs. I could only hit singles. But here's the deal. Listen. I watch these guys at the top of their games. But I only watch them during the games. Not on the practice field. Not on the gym. And listen. They could only do what they could do in the game because of what they did on the practice field and in the gym. Did you know that elite musicians will often spend 4 to 8 hours a day practicing for 10 years to reach an elite level? It's no wonder they can make it look so easy. Did you know that golfers will often work on their game 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for 7 to 10 years to reach an elite level, up to 1,000 quality swings a day? It's no wonder they make it look so easy. Now, guys, I'm not a fan of rhythmic gymnastics, but I saw a video of this Sofia Raffaelli doing things that seemed impossible, and she made it look almost effortless. How long do you think she worked on every piece of that routine to make it look so easy? It's incredible. If you dig around on the internet, you'll eventually run across what is called the 10,000-hour rule for elite performers. It's not exact because some people are just more gifted than others and some disciplines take more practice than others, but the idea is that it takes about 10,000 deliberate, quality, structured, focused practice hours to become an elite performer in nearly anything. If you kind of measure that out, that's about 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for about 5 years of intense practice before you can make it look easy. Have you ever done that at anything? And the fundamental discipline applies to so many of the disciplines. Whether you're an athlete, a musician, a surgeon, a teacher, a craftsman, a gamer, or a Jesus follower. One guy put it like this. He said, a baseball player who expects to excel in the game without adequate exercise of the body is no more ridiculous than a Jesus follower who hopes to be able to act in the manner of Jesus when put to the test without the appropriate exercise of godly living. In other words, in simpler words, if you're not living like a Jesus follower on the practice field, how do you expect to perform like a Jesus follower in the game when you're tested? If you're not training like a Jesus follower, how do you expect to perform like a Jesus follower at those crossroads moments that will come? There's a really important verse I think we too often gloss over too quickly. Apostle Paul puts it like this. He says, physical exercise has some value. Spiritual exercise is way more valuable. In every way, because it promises life both for the present and for the future. Listen, guys. Planet Fitness, Elite Fitness, Fit Time, Fit for Life, Guru, CrossFit, they're cool, good, useful in their place. If you're not into that stuff, Keto, Atkins, Paleo, Weight Watchers, Wegovy, Ozempic, Zepbound, Mounjaro. But listen, to obsess over your physical fitness while you neglect your soul. To obsess over your body while neglecting your soul is disobedient foolishness for a Jesus follower. We get obsessed with the trivial while we neglect what matters most. We can do better. Guys, we're Jesus followers. We don't just believe something about Jesus. We don't just believe in Jesus. We're Jesus followers. It's not just about accepting Jesus as Savior, getting baptized, cleaning up your act a little bit, and then doing church if you have to and waiting for heaven. It's about trying to do life with God, for God, God's way, Jesus following 24/7. And here's the deal. If you're actually Jesus following 24/7, if you're actually trying to do what Jesus would do, what Jesus did in the 24/7, It will not be so hard to make the right choices, to do the right thing, to stand tall for Jesus in those crossroads moments. In fact, you might even look easy because you've been practicing day in and day out. In fact, the more you practice, you might find his yoke easy to bear and that his burden is light, and you might find rest for your souls. You might discover that his commands are not burdensome at all. In fact, you might discover it leads to a life that is rich and satisfying. You might actually sense a lightness to life. Wouldn't that be cool? Guys, doing life with God, for God, his way, Jesus' way, works. Because that's how God made us. Following Jesus works way better than trying to blaze our own foolish paths. Because, guys, that's how our Creator designed us, for life to work best. And, guys, God's pretty smart. You know, the God who kind of knows everything and who wants the very best for us so passionately that he sent his own son to die for us. So, what does this kind of Jesus following look like? What does it mean? Again, I'm not just talking about believing something about Jesus. I'm talking about following Jesus. And that's what allows God to shape us into his image, like father, like children. So we need to look at the way Jesus did it, looking for some things that we can go to school on. You watch Jesus, and how he starts out his ministry is kind of weird. He's baptized by John, which Jesus didn't need personally. He's the only person who didn't need baptism personally, but he did it anyway. But right after he's baptized, this is pretty smart, he spent a month in solitude, fasting and praying. Jesus had some really hard work to do, seriously hard work to do. So he spent some serious time with God, fasting and praying. That's pretty smart. For some reason, even though he was God in a bod, he still needed serious time with God. Do you? And then during his ministry here on earth, Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Gospels tell us he did that a lot. Apparently, that time, alone time with God, gave him strength, gave him peace. You need strength? You need peace? You need any rest for your soul? We also know that Jesus really knew his Bible, you think? When he is tempted by Satan, he quotes Scripture. We watch him as he reads it, teaches it, fulfills it. How well do you know your Bible? Do you find strength and direction when you're tempted? Are you able to let it guide what you think and what you say and what you do? Guys, in addition to church, Jesus spent this alone time with God, and Jesus spent time in the Word of God. He knew it, every verse, every word. And out of those building blocks, he did this incredible ministry here on this earth, and he stood tall when others would have folded. He was showing us how it's done, guys. Following Jesus isn't just about making the kind of choices Jesus would make in those crossroads moments. It's about living as he did in the 24/7, which makes what we do in those crossroads moments so much simpler, so much easier, almost like it's just who we are and what we do. Kind of effortless looking to those who are clueless. So the question is this, guys. Do you want some strength when times are hard? I do. You want some peace when life is chaotic? I do. You want some wisdom when there are tough decisions to be made? That'd be cool. That stuff doesn't come from going to God in the moment. It comes from a life that is steeped in time with God and time in his word. Can you get that? Buy it? We whine that this Jesus following isn't working out the way we expected. Maybe it's because we're trying to follow Jesus in the moment without trying to follow him in the 24/7. Guys, too often we're looking for an easy path to being a Jesus follower. But by avoiding the day-to-day discipline of life with God and time in the Word, we miss the easy yoke, the light burden, the lightness to life, the rich and satisfying life. We can't behave in the hard moments like Jesus would if in the rest of our life we live like they do. That's so important. Do you hear it? We can't behave in the hard moments like Jesus would if in the rest of our life we live just like those without Jesus do. You're going to have the crossroads moments, those defining moments, those critical, decisive moments. Your life's going to be full of them. But Jesus never expected us to love the unlovable and forgive the unforgivable, to put God above self, to stand tall for God, if we're just trying to follow Jesus in the moment. Guys, this is the kind of stuff that comes naturally when a Jesus follower is being transformed into what God meant him or her to be by doing life his way in the 24/7, spending quality time with God and quality time in the Word. And as you do that, it'll become natural to do what Jesus would do. In fact, it'll become unnatural not to. So the question is, are you willing to do more than just believe something about Jesus and then doing as little as you can get away with to make it to heaven? Or are you willing to try to take it to a different level? Are you willing to try to do life with God, for God, His way in the 24/7? Guys, I believe it really is the path to a rich and satisfying life, not just in heaven, but right here, right now. It's the path to the kind of life that matters. So how are you doing right here, right now? You got to be honest. This is between you and God, and He knows. Are you doing life with God, for God, His way? And are you finding it a rich and satisfying life? Are you spending quality time with God and quality time in His Word? Now, we're going to break for a time of communion and recommitment, because that's kind of what the Lord's Supper is all about, isn't it? And then I'm going to come back up here and get to where the rubber hits the road and get really practical about a way to spend some quality time with God and some quality time in the Word beyond church. These tables, you're going to find a tray, and it's going to have some juice and it's going to have some bread. We do that every week to remember the death of Jesus in our place, where He kind of purchased freedom from our sins. We eat this bread and drink this cup. We're giving Him thanks, and we're recommitting ourselves to Him as His followers. You're also going to find an offering box. That's where we Jesus followers give our first part back to God. If you're not a member of Capital City, feel no obligation. That little white bucket box that is there, our generous bucket, if you have a couple of dollars, what goes in there just goes to take care of people in our church family and sometimes in our community. That's just generosity. And so at this point, we're going to pray. I'm going to invite you to the tables. Father, for Your grace, shown most vividly in Jesus' death for us, we give You thanks. For the strength and the power that comes through Jesus, demonstrated through His resurrection, we give You thanks. And at this time, Lord, we just recommit ourselves to being Jesus' followers, not just believers, but followers. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Welcome. Part two, our infomercial. Guys, we've always tried to encourage y'all to spend some time with God and outside of church, and spend some time in the Word of God outside of church. This year, we're going to kick it up a notch. Here's why, kind of. We've grown over the past couple of years significantly, guys. In fact, we baptized so far about 106 new Jesus followers here at Capital City in the last year. That is incredible. It really is. But that also means we've got a whole lot of people in the church family who are kind of new to this time with God and time in the Word thing, doesn't it? But it's not just about the newbies. I read that about 80% of all church members, 4 out of 5, want to know the Bible better. Does that include you? I hope it does. Would you like to know the Bible better? But two of the biggest barriers are that the Bible is really big and it's kind of a weird book. People don't know where to start. And yet, here it is. Engagement with God's Word may be the single greatest predictor of spiritual success. We don't want you to fail. We don't want to lose you. And you don't want to lose you. So we're going to challenge our whole church family to go through the Bible this next year using a plan called Core 52. You saw his picture a little earlier, Mark Moore. Really sharp pastor. Was a Bible prof by the name of Mark Moore. He's identified 52 of the most power-packed passages in the Bible. One big idea for a Jesus follower each week. By the end of 2026, you will have thought through most all of the biggest ideas of the Bible. It's really cool. One guy described the plan like this. Think of Core 52 as a fast pass for knowing God's Word, bypassing the lines of minutia, pushing you to the front of the biggest ideas of the Bible. He said it's the quickest route to move someone from curiosity to confidence in mastering the core message of Scripture and shaping your Christian worldview. Guys, you want to know the Bible better because you know knowing the Bible better will make you better. You want the life to the fullest, the rich and satisfying life where the yoke is easy and the burden is light and you find rest for your souls. If you join us, you're going to be getting into the Word, and we hope the Word will be getting into you. God is really good at working on you through His Word. So here's how it's going to work. You're going to need the Bible, and you're going to need this book, Core 52. If you need a Bible, we'll get you one. We'll order it for you. We've got a few here. We'll get one for you. Or you can use the YouVersion Bible app. It's a great app and it's free. These Core 52 books, we've got a few of them out in our foyer. They may be gone now. There are sign-up sheets. We'll get books this next week for anybody who needs it. We're not going to start this till the January 5, so you have a little bit of time. They cost 10 bucks. If you don't have 10 bucks, take one. It's not stealing. We're giving it to you. Okay? And we're going to get this thing started next Monday, not tomorrow, but January 5. That'll be week one. We're going to run out of books. I suspect this morning I put 3 sign-up sheets out there in the foyer on a different table. Just sign one of those and I'll make sure I order enough copies. We hope to have it here by next Sunday in time to get it started. We expect this plan will take you 5 to 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week. We also believe that this will become extraordinarily valuable time to you. And here's how it lays out. Each week on day one, you're going to be introduced to a single key verse, and you're going to read a short essay on the big idea for the week, written by Mark Moore. I've been sampling them. They're really good. On day two, you're going to memorize the key verse, or verse or two. And then you review the verses from the last couple of weeks. On day three, you're going to read a story in the Bible or some key passage in the Bible that kind of unpacks that big idea for the week. On day four, you're going to read 4 or 3 more what he calls trajectory passages, verses that further kind of unpack the idea. And on day five, you'll be challenged to do something to live out, to put into practice this big idea that you've been studying. 5 to 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week. We believe it'll be worth it. John Weiss, pastor over at Southland in Lexington, says, whether you're someone who reads the Bible on a regular basis, has never read it, or has started and stopped reading it multiple times, Core 52 is the resource for you. Easy to use, an engaging tool that will strengthen your understanding of God's Word. Kyle Eidelman, the pastor of Southeast, that little church over in Louisville, he says, when it comes to knowing and teaching the fundamental insights of Christ, Mark Moore is a maven. Core 52, you'll gain the tools you need for living the life God has called you to. His innovative ideas and colorful illustrations will grab your attention, motivate your will to know Christ and make him known. One more, Kirk Cousins. Ever heard of him? Quarterback now for the Atlanta Falcons. He says, Core 52 will allow you to bridge the gap between your Bible training and your professional impact. If you want to speak confidently on Bible topics while helping lead others on their faith journey, this resource is for you. Now, we're going to make available some other resources for you. Mark Moore has a video introduction to the big idea every week. We've put links to those videos on our Capital City Christian Church YouTube page. You'll find a Core 52 tab there. I'm showing a picture of it right here. He also has a video each week to help you memorize the key verse. If you have a hard time memorizing something, he'll help. Again, there are links to those videos on our page. You might have to dig a little, but they're there. And I will be posting a video each week, toward the end of each week, reinforcing the big idea and encouraging you to keep on going. Those are going to be posted both on our YouTube page and on our Cap City Facebook group. I'm doing this, guys, because we're in this thing together, dragging each other to heaven. In addition, next Sunday, January 4, I'm going to be starting a class upstairs in room 300, teaching about the key verse and the big idea for the week. The class is going to be at 11 o'clock, the second hour, right? So if you want to go to that class, you come to this worship service at 9:30 and go to that class at 11. Now, I would teach it both hours, but I need to be in worship too. Next Sunday, 11 o'clock, room 300 upstairs, we're going to start week one of Core 52. But you don't have to go to the class to take this challenge. That's just an extra, if you want. A couple of more resources you may want to know about. There's a student edition of Core 52 available for junior and senior high kids. We're supposed to get a few copies in today. I haven't seen them yet, but they're supposed to arrive today. We're going to run out. If you want one, there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. Sign your name on it. I'll make sure there's one for you. There's also going to be a family edition if you want to try to do this with younger kids. Again, shipping is delayed on those. Put your name on the sign-up sheet. We'll get them to you as soon as we can, as soon as they come in. Now, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Do life my way. Let me teach you," he says, "because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Because my yoke, my way to live, is easy to bear if you actually do it. And the burden I give you is light." I think it can be. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life in all of its fullness." I think he meant it. But it requires doing life with God, for God, his way. You want to stand tall in the crossroads moments, but you won't perform well in the game without spending solid time in the gym and on the practice field, which means spending quality time with God outside of church and spending quality time in his word outside of church. We can do it, guys. You can do it. Jump in with us. Let's pray together. Father, you want the best for us. It's obvious. And you know best what is best for us. We just have to trust you. Give us the wisdom, the courage to trust you, to do life your way. And help us to taste that life that you meant us to live. We're so grateful. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.